nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Good evening to you listening to Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to live from Juba, and today we are going to be discussing about the rescue initiative South Sudan with partnership from a community-led monitoring. Recently released a report which advocate for more resources and support for people living with HIV in South Sudan. Our lines will be open to you later on, where you can call and get more details from my three guests who are already seated here with me in the studio on 0912062079 or 0912062950. Or you can send us your comment to our SMS number 0912177141. Let me take this chance to welcome my guest here in the studio. I will begin with the ladies first. Adong Irene, good evening and welcome to Radio Miraya.
Thank you, and all the listeners. I'm by the name Adong Irene. I work for CLM as a supervisor, that is community-led monitoring.
Okay.
Juba, South Sudan.
Okay. And also I have Lengitio Faith Ladu. You are the supervisor from the CLM, the community-led monitoring. Welcome to Radio Miraya.
Thank you so much. Good evening, listener.
And also, I have Tabijo Dennis Sokiri. You are the technical advisor. You are most welcome.
Thank you so much, Sunny Martin.
And first of all, let's begin with these activities which you recently conducted in partnership with the Rescue Initiative SSD, together with the community-led monitoring. What is it all about, these activities? Let's begin with you, Sokiri.
Thank you so much, Sunny. It's a good question. I just want to make a quick clarification about who we are here and why we're here. So
a bit of background, yes.
Yes, so particularly here, we're representing the civil society network under the umbrella of NASOS. NASOS stands for the Network of Aid Service Organizations in South Sudan. And as an organization championing the community-led monitoring activity in the country, we have been requested to come and present the views that we have gathered so far from the communities. But I cannot proceed without saying a thank you to the organization, to the donor that funds this activity. I want to say thank you to the U.S. government, and this is from the American people who are funding the community-led monitoring activity in South Sudan through the PEFA grants. So about CLM, CLM stands for community-led monitoring activity. Now, before even going further, I want to remind listeners to what has been happening around HIV and AIDS. Long time back, or even now, there were so many issues around HIV and people living with HIV, including stigma, including discrimination, and so many. But then donors were also putting in their resources and investing a lot.
Yeah.
And one of the things they wanted to do was to fight this stigma, to fight this discrimination and all that. But even when donors were putting in resources, there were no clear outputs to suggest that either discrimination is going down or stigma or any other form of injustice. Now, in order to strengthen this, civil society networks came up to say, okay, why can't we empower people living with HIV or even people who are impacted in another way to lead a process of monitoring that is done through data, so collecting the information from the service users, and then this information is analyzed and given back to service providers and other stakeholders to ensure that the issues around discrimination are holistically addressed. That is all about the what we call community-led monitoring. It is a model. In a nutshell, would you say it is a social accountability and a social advocacy model?
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Adong, when was this conducted, these activities?
Yeah, thank you, listeners. CLM, this is the second year from TRI-SS, the rescue initiative, to implement it here in South Sudan.
Maybe I would
add on
that.
Yes, go ahead, yes.
When we speak about communities, we mean people living with HIV, or otherwise other vulnerable populations who are may otherwise be living with HIV, being at the center to be able to generate evidences in relation to the services that they receive. Now, to be specific, CLM is not a new thing in the world. While other countries have gone, have had it long. South Sudan is in its study of implementation, but specifically the Rescue Initiative South Sudan started in 2022, and to date, that is where you had that, it is 2 years. But the whole process of CLM in the country is for about 3 years.
So let us talk about these activities we are discussing today. When was it conducted?
Okay.
The one we are talking about right
reports
now.
Reports are usually produced quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So a series of activities run continuously.
Mm-hmm.
The community-led monitoring is a continuous process where service users monitor the services being provided to them at sites or at community level, and they are able to generate these challenges. So this specific report you're looking at is has been generated for the last quarter in that is April, May, and June.
Mm-hmm.
So
this
it
year.
Is actually, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So which areas, which state was it covered, or did you cover the entire
no.
country, or you selected some states?
Currently, CLM has not scaled to all the states, especially the ones we're implementing. We are in 4 states, that is in Central Equatoria. We have Western Equatoria, Eastern Equatoria, and Lake State. So in these 4 states, we are in 22 sites and 11 counties.
Somewhat,
by sites, I mean
yes.
the health facilities.
Mm, yes.
Yes.
Now, why did you choose only these states you have mentioned, leaving out others?
Okay, the choice initially was not from us, but we later on verified the importance of that decision. So when it comes to sampling, of course, you know, we are constrained by resources.
Yeah.
You cannot do everything. You would otherwise crash.
Mm.
So the stakeholders sat down, and based on the volume of the cases in different across the country, these particular states were selected on the basis of the volume, but also on the basis of high level of stigma. For example, just for this purposes, I will tell you that if you go to Lake State, for example, you might see the record showing that the prevalence of HIV is low, but then there are dark areas that needed to be uncovered through the CLM model. For example, issues to do with discrimination is very high, stigma is very high. So this is in a nutshell summarizing how the criteria for selecting these particular states.
Before we go to your findings, is stigma still a very high issue to be dealt with among people living with the HIV in the country? For example, you mentioned Lake State. Is it a big issue right now in South Sudan, or the rate is dropping down, the issue of stigma?
Yes, I can answer that. Stigma is still an issue in within South Sudan, but through CLM intervention, it is trying to reduce, because we advocate for clients' right in those sites.
All right. What are your findings? Any of you can take from these activities. What is the pressing thing you discovered during your activities in the last quarter of the year?
Okay. I would start.
Yes, go ahead.
There are quite a number of gaps that we identified through the communities, through community voices. One main thing is empowerment challenges. This is attributed to nutritional challenges. Taking the current economic crisis.
Empowerment to who? To people living with HIV?
To people living with HIV.
Yes.
Specifically, if I drive to the nutrition component, initially we had support to people living with HIV nutritionally. But now we are taking a situation, the nutritional supplies have been stopped since
sometimes back.
Late last year.
Mm-hmm.
This support
no,
has
I
been
think
stopped.
Early last year.
Yeah.
I mean early last year,
yeah.
Yes. So given this economic crisis we have currently in the country, We are seeing that as a threat to adherence. As communities, we're looking at having, because we are looking at achieving U equals to U. That is the untransmittable, I mean undetectable equals to untransmissible. For you to achieve this, you need someone to adhere to treatment. Now, given this economic crisis, lack of nutritional supplements to PHIL HIV is creating a threat to adherence, and it worries us as communities.
Okay.
Secondly, issues of infrastructure at the sites. Before I told you, it is the health facilities that CLM is embedded at.
Yes.
And you realized one of the quality checks also includes ensuring that clients are comfortably counseled. Clients have the privacy whenever they want to speak to. Mm-hmm. Other vulnerable populations are able to attain that privacy at sites. But you realize that generally infrastructure development is so low. By infrastructure, I mean the buildings, the facilities,
yes.
The sanitary facilities. That is a great challenge. And when we look at quality, that has been always the cry at many of the sites.
Okay.
My colleagues can
answer. Yes, go ahead, Sakiri.
Yeah, so just to add on to the issue of food for PHIL HIV, as we said that it was stopped.
For people living with HIV, for our people to understand.
Yes. So initially, World Food Program used to provide these nutritional services. And let's not forget, PHIL HIV, people living with HIV are already struggling with what we call the drug burden, the pill burden, you know. So even when we are already adding another burden into an existing burden, the pill burden, by taking away food, which is required in any way. For anybody who is taking a pill, you need to eat food in order to be, yes. So that adds into the magnitude of the problem of the issues of food. But talking about the issues of privacy and infrastructure, just let's give you one example. In one of the facilities, we have an open space where clients come for consultation, but this open space is also where the bodabodas park.
Mm-hmm.
So you imagine...
They keep listening.
Yes, imagine somebody is coming to do a counseling, what we call voluntary counseling and testing.
Yes.
And even when you do the VCT, you need to do post-test counseling. But then you are in an open space. Why would you reject the results? Because we now know of a situation where in some areas people reject their test results. You see? So the issues of infrastructure, the issues of privacy, but even to some extent we have issues related to provider attitude. You know, a service provider, we are in a situation where people are disgruntled, they are not being paid salaries, they have their own issues. You know, they bring these things and throw on clients. You know, words like, was I there when you had your...
Yeah.
So those are some
who sent you.
Yes. So those are some of the things that keep on coming. Yeah.
So let's find out, maybe Adong, what was the main or the specific objective of these activities you carried out in the last quarter of the year?
Okay. Some of the gaps identified was also the facility improved according to the key findings of the other facilities. The toilets were not all that clean, even the general cleanliness of the facility, but now there is improvement. And also during the data collection, we find that some of the sites has challenges for the vulnerable people. They don't have cervical cancer screening, which that is the services that some of the clients wants to go and access. Some of them even don't have syphilis screening or STIs medicine. Those are some of the key findings. So I think my colleague can add on that.
Yes.
Like you said, what the objective is.
Yes, yeah.
CLM looks at empowering communities to be able to identify those service gaps. So we have basically two objectives. One is to generate the evidence with communities on the service gaps they experience at sites of service provision, or otherwise the challenges they feel that gives a threat to their adherence. It could be community-based or even facility-based. That is the main objective. Now, the second objective is to be able to drive advocacies as communities. When communities speak up, they should be able to hold duty bearers accountable for the gaps that have been identified, or otherwise advocate for better services. So those are the two main objectives.
Yeah. Now, from the states you have mentioned so far, and from your activities and your findings, what is the general prevalence of HIV among adults in these areas you conducted your activities? Is it very high?
Yeah, the national projections, I would tell you that South Sudan does not have more specific prevalence rates, but rather have projections. So annually there are projections. And generally, the prevalence, according to the models that we have, dropped. And today we are talking about 1.9. But in terms of the state-wise burden, we know that the Equatoria still has the greatest burden, followed, of course, Western, Central, Eastern, and then Lakes. Now, let's be very clear here. We are talking about projections. So projections are modeled. A model is as good as the information you fit into it. Now, most of the informations are proxy indicators that are used to model this prevalence. Mm-hmm. So as we speak, we would always say we speak with a caveat. We have to be more careful to actually say with confidence that this is the prevalence. But so far, that is what I can tell you.
Okay, and then now, you have done this and you have heard a lot from people. What is the general perspective about improving HIV/AIDS care service to the people who are living with HIV/AIDS in South Sudan?
Yeah, so there are so many ideas that came from the service providers, the service users, the donors, you know, other stakeholders. And all these things are tailored into, you know, the problems that that is prevailing currently. So I will tell you, for example, there were a lot of need to ensure that service providers are provided training to ensure that they improve on their ethical conduct, or otherwise they retain the same. And then one of the things is to ensure that they embrace what we call the standard operating procedures when it comes to handling people living with HIV and AIDS at all the line of care and treatment. That is what is very important. And also, as proposed earlier on, people living with HIV are asking for resumption of the food for PLHIV. Mm-hmm. Yes, because we can't do the other things. There were arguments amongst communities on whether to provide food or to expand the current empowerment initiatives. I can tell you, there is an empowerment initiative that targets young positives, okay? But these empowerment initiatives tend to be diminishing among adults. And unfortunately, the adults needed that support in order to support the young positives.
Right.
So that is a popular demand now. The other problem is that another way of improving is, for example, we want to look at prevention. What is happening is that while treatment is going up, prevention communication is going down.
Why? What is the reason?
Yes. You want to answer?
Yeah. Yes.
So what is happening is there is a tendency of people to assume that since the treatment is available, or otherwise, I would say sometimes people say some people have reached saturation, you know. When you get information, the same communication, there's a point when you tend to saturate and block your mind.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Do people take HIV/AIDS very serious in this country? Because like I have heard from people that if somebody can live longer, why should I care? Is it a very serious issue? Do you think awareness is also very important to tackle the issue of as medication is going higher, the issue of awareness of people who are yet to know this, should get to know that HIV is real and is dangerous.
Absolutely. And this time we need to refocus our approach, because the initial focus was on risk perception, you know. And this is where people have quickly adjusted. Okay, if it is about the risk, I can prevent myself. I can do this, this, and that.
Yeah.
And they have now thrown away the need to sensitize communities, you see. So we need to approach it from another behavioral science perspective to ensure that it's not only the issue of risk perception, but trying to plan, you know, what we call the change mechanisms, planning together as communities to agree on some specific change mechanisms that can be tracked and monitored.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, if you have just joined us right now, you are listening to Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba this evening, and today we are talking about support. More to advocate for more resource and support for people living with HIV AIDS. We have heard from Sokiri. He's saying that this is a nutrition program that was that used to be supported by UN agencies should be reinstated because of the economic hardship. The people who are living with HIV, they need to eat and take their medicine so that they can live long. And you can call us on 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion.
You're listening to Radio Minaya, the voice of peace. Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Minaya.
Good evening to you once again. My name is Sunny Martin, and in the studio I have Tobijo Dennis Okiri and Adong Irene Langesio Faith Lagu, and they are discussing about advocating for more resource and support for people living with HIV/AIDS. They have been conducting activities across the country, not all, but in some states. You can also call us right now and hear direct from them what you have for them. You can ask your question right here. We have a couple of SMS coming in here. I'll also be reading some of them. Hello? Hello? Your name? Hello? Okay. Hello, Lady Mira? Hello? Yes, your name?
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Yeah, you are connected with Olfuk from Northern Baltazar.
Okay.
I greet the death who are there in the studio in the name of Jesus. And I appreciate the demonstration of Radio Muraya. And I appreciate those who are there for a talk show. May God bless them. Aula Haja and Al-Dam Linnas Al-Indum HIV wala na so vulnerable nono asa yani fin musajfat kan zaman legito nas bita HIV da indum mizania
ai
lakini asa hal filal wilayat hal al mizania bita nazal indum HIV gaid filal wilayat umalu fil mogatat den muafazat maafi ya chokolda nono fi healthcare gadis len so kawandi malu maafi mbamuno yinap
Okay. All right. Shukran Carlos. Hello. Okay. We also have another question here that is coming from Majak in Juba here. It says, with this current economic situation, the country is going through and the people living with the HIV are also facing the same economic crisis. How tough is it for them? And what are the dangers of people living with HIV not having a decent meal per day? That's from Majak here in Juba. The first question from Northern Baltazar, maybe Bijua Arabi, Mahfouz Muskira. Yes, go ahead. Okay, so Kiri, this question of the dangers of people living with HIV not having access to decent meal per day.
Yeah, so let us start with the need for a strong immunity.
Yeah.
Any person who is living with HIV needs a strong immunity. And we know that to build that immunity requires food. You know, you need to be able to have regular and balanced meals to maintain and sustain that immunity. Or otherwise, even with the drugs, and if you do have poor immune system, then you wouldn't respond to the treatment. So what we are saying is, yes, the hardships are real, and the hardships are dangerous because of this connection, the immunity and the medication that needs to be taken regularly.
Okay. Yeah. All right. This question from Northern Baragazal about the issue of budgeting and providing for people living with HIV AIDS at the state level.
Is that budgeting as a national program? Is that
yes? Maybe is there any support being given to these people at the county level where you visited these centers? Is there any kind of food being provided?
No, unfortunately, no. And we have brought these issues to the attention of South Sudan AIDS Commission. When we communicate, when we advocate, we try as much as possible to be as inclusive and as broad as possible. So knowing that this is a national issue, and even, let's be honest, even before then, the fact that these people living with HIV were receiving support was not directly a government-led program. But, of course, any program that is within this country, I would say, for the people of South Sudan. Yeah. Yes. So when this program was there, it was in all states. Mm. It was in all states. And as I said, you know, they are called modalities. World Food Program has got feeding modalities. And one of the modality at that time was the food for people living with HIV, which has now been scrapped up because of reduction in funding to South Sudan. And that's what we are saying now, that it has been reduced. And we know that our community is not able to cope. What next? See,
so that's the question. What next?
What next is that's why we're here, and we are all advocates to ensure that something works.
Okay, all right. Okay, we can still pick more calls on 091-206-2079. Hello, Redimira. Hello.
Sana Martin.
Yes, Marhabek.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
You are now talking to your brother.
Go ahead, guy so, from Bentiu.
I do appreciate the guest, my dear brother. Now, the HIV is common in South Sudan. Do the HIV have a medicine or tablet from facilities? Or what is the cure of HIV? The cure of HIV.
Okay. Thank you so much. They will be answering from their perspective. Hello? 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 Mr. Alkir.
Noor, it's me, community advisor from Bor.
Okay, community advisor Marhabek Beswaltake.
Thank you so much. Let me start by recognizing the president of our guest in the studio and the presenter of today.
Okay, thank you so much.
I have only two questions. HIV has become dangerous to the people of South Sudan. And the people who is affected by HIV are very few. Why the people of South Sudan or the government of South Sudan to isolate those people who are having virus? Not to give it to other people who have no...
Community advisor. Hello. Okay, maybe his network there. There is another question here asking Sokiri, in the absence of the WFP food that according to you have been scrapped off due to reduction of funding, what is the alternative? That is coming from Joseph here in Munichi, Juba. Joseph won't find that from you. And another question coming via our SMS number, it says, what were some of the issues you found in these centers you mentioned earlier, which requires urgent attention now to people living with HIV? That it requires urgent attention and remedy immediately. That is coming from, in Western Bahar Ghazal. It's called Ahmed. Yes, that's it. That's it. My name is Ahmed. Yes, let's take this. Let's begin with the last question. Any of you can take, and maybe you can also respond to the cure. Is there any cure so far for HIV/AIDS?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much, listener. I'll begin with the last question.
Yeah.
The immediate issues found at sites. The community-led monitoring works in a way that it gives space to handle immediate issues, immediate pressing issues. Mm. And then it also gives space to advocate for other bigger issues,
yeah,
where we would be asking for other bigger entities to come in and try to solve an identified gap. Now, in our approach, every gap identified matters,
mm-hmm,
even if it's from one person living with HIV.
Yeah.
So I can tell you there are a lot of immediate issues that were identified and amicably solved at health facility levels where their capacities were able.
Okay.
Say, things to do with facility cleanness. You had my colleague mention that, mm-hmm, there were improvements. Some of these things are brought when systems in place are not being monitored and whatsoever. So whenever clients identify this faster, it is communicated to the, if I find a facility, say like for example, a facility compound not clean,
yeah,
whom do I charge immediately? I talk to the in charge, because the in charge is in charge of the health facility. That's why service providers are also part of our what? Stakeholders. So when we speak to them, they see what they can do. They identify first of all where the problem is, and then those things get solved.
Mm.
There are other issues I'll tell you, for example, through the CLM, we are able to identify that certain transport mechanisms, for example, for specimens, mm, where specimens are carried from facilities to the public lab, were down, and due to improper communications, either sides were not kept informed.
Mm-hmm.
And through community-led monitoring, we are able to identify that and follow up the immediate duty bearers from the facility in charge to the person responsible for that, and that was solved.
Mm.
There are quite a number of other things that are solved immediately.
Okay.
However, there are those broader ones which requires the government, requires the donors, requires the partners, and other recommendations at a bigger level. Those ones are the ones we carry forward.
Okay.
Now, our second question was about isolating the ones.
Mm.
And these are the type of things we speak about, like stigma. Like you feel, first of all, our first 95, in our 95-95 strategy, 95% of the population in that country are supposed to be tested. How sure are you don't have it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone for a test? This is the first question. We should all task ourselves that we should know our status. Whether you're negative or positive, go for a test. This is the first thing. And then I think that will also be again.
How easy is it for someone to just wake up and go for a test? From the record and interaction you're having with the partners here, is the number of people going to test voluntarily, is it up or down? Any information about it? Because like you said, for you to know your status, you have to go for a test.
Exactly.
Yeah. So is it as easy as said?
In some moments, I would say maybe it's not easy.
Mm.
But like we said before, we need awareness. People,
yes,
need to know that they have to test before coming boldly and say, I'm not, you,
yeah,
are. You see that?
Yeah.
So that until we bridge this gap, that before you say, isolate those ones, do you know your status?
Mm.
Do you know how HIV is transmitted? Haven't you ever been a victim? Like if we are knowledgeable about all this, you'll find that it informs us that before we say, let's isolate these people living with HIV somewhere, because there are few. You're already assuming there are few. People have lived with HIV when they adhere to treatment.
Mm.
How sure are you don't have? So that is a very important question. But otherwise, it is against HIV is just like any other disease, and it's against human rights to say that people should be isolated because of their statuses. And these are the type of stigma and discrimination we speak about.
Okay.
Unless we educate ourselves about it, and then we will not be able to surpass this. And then coming to the last question, the first question actually that was asked is related to tablets at health facilities. If you speak of Kiwa, I would say no. But we have treatment for HIV and AIDS. Those are the pills, the ARV antiretroviral viral drugs. That's the ARVs that people who are tested positive keep on taking.
And they live normal.
And they live normal. If you adhere, you take them the way you are instructed by your health worker to take, then science says that with time, if you adhere, and then your viral load goes down. When your viral load goes down, it means you cannot transmit. And that is the goal of 2030 we are looking forward to.
Yes. Is South Sudan ready for 2030 goal?
That's a question for all of us.
We are trying. Okay, okay, I can add on the medication part of it.
Yeah.
We have nevirapine syrup for the children. Any mother who is tested positive, they are advised to
Are they available?
Yeah, they are available in all the sites, in all the government facilities.
Given at a cost or free?
Free of charge. Mm. And then the ARVs is for adults, and also we have PrEP for the negative people or negative couples. You find a situation whereby a couple is tested. One is positive, one is negative.
Mm.
Through the facility doctor's advice, they advise the negative one to use PrEP, and then the ARVs for the positive person.
Okay, so Kiri, in the absence of the WFP food, what is the alternative?
Yes, so we know that some critics and proponents, all the same, would urge you that if you give food, you are trying to create dependence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say at this point, we need just an intervention for a short time, but what is going to last, the sustainable option, is empowerment. Empowerment means that we should be able to lobby and give people living with HIV who have capacity what we call startups, so that they are able to start some income-generating activities. In situations where now food is not there as it is, then they can be in position to buy their own food.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, another question here is saying, from your interaction with the people living with HIV in these four states, what are their major concerns and the challenges they're going through?
Okay, let me first give one from a service provider perspective. Mm. We have one gap here, and we are advocating for someone to help, that they are having challenges in counseling people who are living with HIV, but at the same time they have disability. For example, hearing, you know. So it's difficult to give them adherence counseling, to say, no, you need to take your medication at this time, especially now when they are double, you know, there's blindness and they have hearing issues, and they are living with HIV. The other thing is that for those who are moving around, you have heard Sidi talk about PrEP. PrEP means pre-exposure prophylaxis. If you know that you are traveling and you are going to go out, and you know you are not good in using condom, please use PrEP. The other thing is, even when you use PrEP, PrEP prevents you, at least to a larger extent, from getting the virus, but does not prevent you from getting other sexually transmitted infections.
Yeah.
Then that also brings to the other gap. Now, while the ARVs, the antiretroviral drugs, are available in health facilities, the normal drugs needed for the treatment of opportunistic infections are missing. And so, if a person is living with HIV, is not adhering well, and is affected by another disease, then that person can go into what we call advanced HIV. Unfortunately, we don't have the services to treat advanced HIV in South Sudan. So that is also an urgent gap, the issue of ensuring that the facilities are stocked with essential drugs for the treatment of other opportunistic infections. We have another problem. There is an ongoing cross-infection between tuberculosis and HIV, especially in facilities where they share services, for example, testing. Now, we have seen that clients who have TB would cross into an ART clinic without a mask.
Okay. So they have to put on a face mask.
They have to put on a face mask. Otherwise, they're transferring the infection to the person living with HIV, and that leads into advanced HIV and death otherwise.
Right. Okay. Let's begin concluding because our time is up. From here, what next after this study? What is the way forward? How do you move from here? Briefly.
We said about CLM is all about advocacy. I know our partners are outside there listening. And indeed, according to me, as a CLM supervisor, I would advise that our partners who have been providing food for people living with HIV should at least get for us some small, bring back that food supplement, because we have even the children who are living with HIV. This one will help enable them to take their medication well.
Thank you so much. Yes, Sokiri, your final concluding remark in 30 seconds.
We are in this together. We bring to you the evidence. We ask you to fit into what we do, and we advocate together. Let us make HIV and AIDS issues a history in South Sudan. 2030, we will reach there. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I think empowerment of people living with HIV is key. When we empower them, we give them the strength to stand beside the pills and be strong on their own. So much as we advocate for nutrition, immediate nutrition supplements, knowing lack of nutrition is already a threat to adherence, we also encourage other partners to prioritize the coverage for empowering people living with HIV at all levels. Thank you.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. I thank you so much for coming this evening for our discussion here. We hope to talk to you some other time. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.